feet and follow him around and watch him. And listen, the plan ultimately was for them to take what they've seen, what they've heard, and what he has given them, and to go with it and to give it to somebody else. That was the plan the entire time. Now, that's a simple point, right? I'm not going to re-preach it, but I'm going to say it again. Do you know that's still the plan? That's still the plan. Okay, look, God didn't save you so he can be the cherry on top of your cake. All right? God didn't save you so he can just sit around and bless you up and fill up your bank account and make you help. That ain't why he did it. Do you understand that? Do you know what becomes, but I know we live in a day of prosperity preaching. Do you know what is more important than any of that is that the fact that God plans to send you. It ain't centered on what you get, what you want. It's about what God's going to do with you, and it's for his name's sake and other people. And I just think that needs to be said again, because so much of the church, where we go to church and this and that, we decide based on what we like and what's about us, and a little of it has to do with what we bring to the table and letting God use us. I'm telling you, if the church left this place with the reality of the mandate and the Great Commission and was biblical and did what the Bible teaches us to do and goes out into this world, we'd see people saved. Man, we'd see a lot more lives changed. Look, we can't just sit here and pray for them and hope that they come in one day and just send them a card every night. You know, we have to go to the world. And one problem I see in church is that a lot of it don't look real biblical at times. Because we spend so much money to sit where we are and to entice somebody to come where I am. The church was never set up for us to invest in ways to entice people in. We're not enticers. Now, the enemy's an enticer. Every man's tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust, and when he's enticed and drawn away by his own lust. The enemy entices. We're not enticers. We're go-getters. We go and we deliver and we give and we serve. That's what the plan is. So I just want to say it again. If this part is missing in your walk with the Lord, then your walk with the Lord is not at all what it's supposed to be. We cannot forget the plan that we are here for God to use us every day. Okay? Now, I don't want to kill a dead horse here, but are you with me? That's the plan. His plan the whole time was not just to have a group with him, but that he could send them out and they would represent Christ. That's the plan. The plan is still the same in these last days, is that you would go where you go and God would authorize you to represent him in this world. Somebody say amen. Yeah, I had to tell you to say that ain't exciting. That feels burdensome to most of you. I get it, but we ought to be shouting about it because we are part of the plan. Ain't you glad that you're part of the plan? What if you didn't have the option to represent your God? What if you had to live? Oh my, I don't need to do that. What if you had to live with this gospel message, this good news, and your testimony, and God said you can't tell nobody? You know what? Yeah, some of y'all know people calls you and tells you a secret like you can't tell nobody. The minute they tell you something, you just feel like you got to go tell some. Why ain't we like that when it comes to the Lord and to the gospel? Look, our plan, the purpose is that we would go and tell them. It's part of the plan. It was the plan the whole time. Number two, the preparation. The preparation. Remember, this is what I said, that Jesus sends out the apostles are first the disciples. Before they are apostles, the sent out, they are first the disciples, the student. And what I said was differently. When they begin to follow Christ as a disciple, they thought they would sit under a rabbi, that they would learn his teachings, they would learn what he believes, they would learn his content. But instead, what Jesus was doing, they wouldn't go and learn. He didn't want them to learn what he believes. They wanted them to learn him and believe in him. So it was not, he was not like every other rabbi that gives information and doctrines and creeds and teachings. They were supposed to be a student, not to know what he teaches, but to know him. And they would know him through watching him, listening to him teach and watching him manifest. Through his word and beholding him manifest and minister, they would begin to know who Jesus is. They went there to learn curriculum. They was there to learn the character of God, okay? Other students was learning curriculum of rabbis. They was there, their curriculum was to know Jesus. So I told you this, the preparation to go is preceded by you knowing who Jesus is and you being a student of Christ, following him. And we talked last week that the disciples, they forsook to follow. And maybe one reason why we're not good at going is because we're not good at knowing him. And we're not good at knowing him because there's things in our life we're not forsaking. We're letting them sit right in the way, and they stand in the way of knowing him the way he wants us to know him. So there's things we got to forsake to be the student that will know him. And in that knowledge of him, that's what will prepare us to go. That was last week, right? Y'all with me? So the preparation to go is knowing Jesus. Are you with me? Is knowing him. Knowing him. What qualifies you to go into the world is that you know him personally. You're his student. You study. You know him. That's what qualifies you. Not knowing a lot about him. You can go to seminary school and not know him. I was sitting in church in Jasper one time, and the pastor had his doctorate at a Baptist church, had his doctorate, and I was sitting by Terry, and the man got saved. He got up there and said, look, I got my PhD. I've been pastoring years and never was even saved. And this is in front of hundreds of people. Everybody's like, oh, you know, you can know a lot about him and not know him. We're not to be a student of Christianity or the Bible. We are a student of the persona of the Son of God. We know him, and that's what prepares us to go into this world. Number three. That was last week. So number three, the purpose of sending. The purpose. Now, this is where my outline goes haywire, okay? I just went nuts here. But we're going to walk through this, okay? What is the purpose of being sent? It's a threefold answer, okay? Threefold answer. A, to glorify God. Say, glorify God. B, to go and to give. And C, is to grow, okay? Now watch this. The purpose of being sent. What was the purpose behind Jesus sending his disciples? Well, the first thing I want you to understand about God sending you into this world, the purpose behind it, number one, first and foremost, is that you would glorify God. Somebody say amen. Whatever you do, Paul, whether you eat or whether you do, whatever you do it for the glory of the Lord. Whatever you do, even in simple things, you do it to glorify God. Amen? So when Jesus sends the disciples, remember, he said this, his mission, that they would glorify God because they were sent not with their own mission, they're fulfilling, they're an extension of Jesus' mission, right? Their mission is nothing more than an extension of Jesus' mission. That's why Jesus says two times that I'm going to send you the way the Father sent me. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Two times, Jesus tells the disciple, I'm sending you in the manner and in the mission the same way the Father sent me. And if you look at Jesus' language, it seems to be a bifold language when he talks about his mission. He talks about his mission on one hand, that he come to seek and save that which is lost, right? He says, look, those that are well, they don't need a physician. The sick needs a physician. I came to seek and save that which is lost. But on the other side of the coin, Jesus is always saying that I have come to do my Father's will. I have come to glorify my Father. The mission of Jesus Christ was whatever would glorify the Father. Jesus left heaven and he come to earth on a mission because that was the mission that would glorify eternal Yahweh. And I want you to understand, when Jesus sends you, it is an extension of that same mission. He's sending you the way the Father sent him, and the purpose of that is to glorify God. It ain't about you when you get up and go to tell somebody, whether you do or whether you don't. It ain't about how you feel or whether you're comfortable doing it or this or that. It's not centered on you. It's centered on his glory. Say, I ain't good at it. Well, the good news is you ain't got to be good to glorify the Father. You ain't got to be good at it to glorify the Father. You just got to be obedient in it. Say, but I don't know what to say, and I think I sound dumb, and I stutter. I do too. I feel the same way, all right? But I learned a long time ago that it ain't about that. If you play the fool once or twice, you'll get over that. But you can rest in this, that you did your best to glorify your Father. That's the mission. The purpose of him sending you is not about you. First and foremost, it's about God. It's his mission. Not only is it his mission, it's his message, right? You don't get to preach your own. You don't get to share. You don't get to make up the message. Now, I know some people like to do that, apparently. They like to twist it and change it. They like to change it so that you might like it a little better. But the minute you change the message so that you like it or somebody else likes it more is the minute you're doing the mission, and the mission ain't about the glory of God. Right? The message, it's his message. It's his. Look, they are going to share the message that Jesus is sharing, right? They're going to go preach repentance. Look, this was already preceding Christ in John the Baptist. Hence the text, the context. John was already preaching repentance. They're already preaching the kingdom of God. Let's look at what all he's preaching here. Look at 11. Number one, he preaches the need for repentance, judgment. He says, look, if they reject this truth, then Sodom and Gomorrah will have it better off than them in eternity. People say, is there different degrees of punishment in hell? I would have to say I believe so, because Jesus says that it will clearly be worse for some than for others. Well, what's the difference in Sodom and Gomorrah and right here where they're going? My God, Jesus is sending them with his authority in them, with the gospel, with the message, with the name above every name. They're getting a clear gospel. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't get what these people are getting. They didn't get the apostolos that come to them the way these people are getting. It's his message. He said, look, if they reject it, if they reject the saving gospel, if they reject the kingdom message and the truth, in light of me coming and me sending you and me giving you all the authority the Father's given me and me giving you the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation and the miracles that validate the message, if they reject all that, what else do they have? When we are sent, it is all about him, his message, his mission. And that's the beauty of it. You're just the carrier. We don't got a good excuse not to share our faith and not to share the gospel. It ain't like you got to come up with one. It ain't like you got to make one up that sounds good. It ain't like you've got to sell yourself to somebody else. Right? Because ain't none of it about me. I just got to take his message that's about him and give it to them. Preach repentance. And then if you look at verse 14, this verse has slipped by me all my life here. But if you look at verse 14, look at it again with me. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. He sends out 12 disciples. He says, look, I'm going to give you my power, my message. This is my mission, and you go share it. And I don't know how long they were gone. It couldn't have been too terribly long. But I do know this, that while they're doing it, King Herod is hearing all about Jesus. He hearing about Peter. He hearing about John. Let me tell you when the preaching's good. You know the preaching's good when you leave there that day and nobody's talking about the preacher. When you leave there that day and nobody can talk about a sermon and they can't talk about the preacher and they can't talk about the song, all they can talk about is Jesus, how he showed up that day and what he, that's how you know the preaching's good. When it's all about Jesus. Herod's hearing of his name. He hears the name Jesus, not the disciples' name. And it is spreading like wildfire from the lowest of society up into the courts of kings. Do you hear what I'm saying? This mission, this message, it's all about him. Jesus authorizes, Jesus sends. So Jesus is on one end of the sending, but he's also the result of the sending. Jesus is on every side of the sent. Does that make sense? Jesus is showing them who he is. He authorized to send. In between them getting from here to there, he gives them the power that will get them from here to there and do it. And the result of it is the name of Jesus. You ain't got to be clever, and you ain't got to be catchy. Look, Jesus is still enough. Just Jesus, just the message, just the gospel is still enough. I don't got to make Jesus' life look any better, and I don't got to make it prettier, and I ain't got to make him look sweeter, and I ain't got to make him, I just got to tell him who he is and what he done. And Holy Ghost will take over from there. You just got to go. Herod didn't like it. He didn't like it. You remember, you ever had anybody just come up to you right where you are going through life and begin to share the gospel with you and confront you with truth? You ever been there? You ever been there when you wasn't close to the Lord and somebody's confronting you with the gospel and truth? I didn't like it either. My God, I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for it. It's all about him. Look, your purpose to go, maybe if you knew it wasn't about you, maybe you would go. Right? There's some things I won't do for myself, but I'll do it for others. Right? I probably spend more time in your yard than mine. Maybe when we realize it's about him, we'll go. It's his mission. It's his message. Let's keep going. It's his means. I done said that. Look, it's the sending is surrounded by Christ. It's his means. What do I mean by the means? The authority given. That's the means by which they will go. That's the means by which they will do what God is telling them to go do. He don't tell you to go do something and not give you what you need to do it. I could understand if Jesus said, look, I want you to go tell them, but I'm not going to be near you. You're going to have to do it all on yourself. You're going to have to find a way to make them believe. You go do that. Well, that would be real discouraging. He don't do that. He said, look, all you got to do is say it. I'm going to give you the message, and I'm going to give you the person of the Holy Ghost. He's going to be doing the groundwork. He's going to be doing interior work. All you got to do is go. There's going to be a Bema Seat of Christ one day. And believers will give an account. And I think we're going to have some tough questions to answer. What valid, legitimate excuse did you have to not tell people about me? One legitimate reason why you didn't go and tell them that I'm the Savior. One legitimate one. I gave you the power to do it. I was doing all the work inside and outside. Why didn't you go? I saved you. In one place, what does he tell them? Or maybe it's to the 70. Freely you've received, so freely given. Why would we not go? It's all about him, right? And it's his method. It's his method. And I love this. He says, all right, I want you to pair up in twos. You can carry that staff. You can carry that staff, but I don't want you carrying no money. And I don't want you to carry your bag. I don't want you to carry your purse. You don't need two coats. You go. And when you get somewhere, the first place you go, stay there. I want you to stay there, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And if they reject you, dust yourself off, and you go on. Go to the next one. You go on. He tells them his method. He tells them his method. Why do we center churches? Why do we center on methods? He's given us a method. Why do we replace his methods at times with one that we think is better? Lost people don't do that. I'm talking about church folk, right? We'll come up with a better way than just prayer and being faithful and sharing the gospel. I still tell you today, you listen to what I'm about to say, the best thing you can do, the best method, okay? This is the best method to win in the world. Pray for them. Pray and pray and pray and pray. And when you ain't praying, go to them, share the truth, and love them. Help them. Help them. Love them and share the gospel. And when you ain't doing that, pray for their soul. I still believe if Bob's down the road and if the church comes together and prays for Bob to get saved every time, and then the church goes to Bob and they love Bob, even if Bob rejects it, we keep loving Bob and then we share the gospel. Eventually, not because of us, but because of his methods and his means and the work of the Holy Spirit, Bob's going to get saved. I believe that. Or we can do something like this. Hey, let's don't say this because that might offend Bob a little. And let's don't say that because Bob might get a little upset and we'll turn him away if we do that. If we can say this part about the gospel, let's just tell him, let's leave off anything about sin or repentance and just tell him about love. We change the methods. And by changing the methods, we change the message at times. Sometimes churches replace all the prayer and the diligent seeking of the Lord and faithfulness and community and love and sharing the gospel with programs and entertainment and lights and higher things. We change the method. Are you with me? Does that make sense? But we don't have the right to change the method. Because when we're sent, it ain't about us. It's about him. Are you with me? Does that make sense? I need you to understand. The plan is you go into next week as the sent one. But if you're going to go there, sent by God, you got to understand that it's all about him. What fuels you is to glorify him. That's got to be, if you're going to be faithful in it, you're going to be faithful because what drives you is the spirit and the power he's giving you to do it and the motive to glorify. I probably should have put that one under all those subpoints. The motive. The motive is his. Yeah. So, number one, the purpose is to glorify God. Number two, the purpose is to go and give. Now listen to this. I wrote down, to deliver hope of salvation, deliver healing to the sick, and deliver the hostages of sin and Satan. Right? So let me read you this. Can you look me up 1 John 3:8, Miss Brandy? I might can get there quicker. but she'll get it here in a minute. Maybe it's the right reference. Okay. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Uh-oh. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Man sinned. The devil tempted man to sin. Sin fell. And Jesus says this, I'm going to give you authority. And this is what you do. You go tell them. You go preach this gospel. You preach this kingdom. You tell them the Savior's coming. You tell them there's salvation. There's hope coming. You tell them that. And you make them aware that because of their sin, there's judgment. And there is condemnation. There is condemnation. God don't want to condemn, but he will condemn. Everybody's like, God don't condemn. What? We're condemned already. Everybody reads John 3:16, but they don't read 17 and 18 and 19. He tells them it's a two-sided coin. He didn't come to condemn, because if something don't change, he's got to condemn. You're already condemned. God's already condemned sin, right? So he didn't come to do the way that God already is. He come to find a way to bring salvation to the sinner. He comes so that we wouldn't have to be condemned. Right? Tell them. I'm old school. Everybody says, you can't preach hell and scare them into heaven. Man, I'm so sick. Yeah, you don't do scare tactics, but you don't avoid things that are true. How do I know God is good? How do I know what the cross is? How do I know what a Savior is if I don't know that I'm in a pit of hell and sin and condemnation and judgment is coming my way, not because God is evil, but because Stanton is evil? People have to understand the reason why Jesus is so good is because we are so sinful. And we deserve hell. Come on, you deserve hell. I said that. I said that to you. You deserve every bit of it. Every bit of it, you deserve it. Which would just wreck. Progressives would love to hear me say that. They just have a field day with it. But we deserve it. How do you know what grace is? You can't understand what grace is until you know what you deserve. Because grace is you getting not what you should get. Not getting what you deserve. That's grace, right? Come on. He says, you go tell them that these people, and it's clear in the text, it's clear through Mark, that at this time, the enemy has got so many people hostage. Every synagogue they go in, every street, they're casting out demons left and right, right? We made it 6 chapters into Mark, and there's been so much demons cast out already, right? The enemy has held men hostage, and he's used their sins to do so. And so he says, you go to those who are captive to their sin, to the judgment that's coming, and to the plot and the plots of the enemy. You go to them. You go to them that are held captive and bound by the enemy and by their own sins. You go to them. And I'm going to give you authority to release them. So not only is it about him, it's about people that need this. They need this. These people that are captive and bound in bondage, and they need deliverance. There's people that the enemy has a hold on, and we good at sitting around and judging them and critiquing them and looking down our nose at them and let them sit there in their bondage. They don't need your judgment. They don't need your critique. They need your message. They need deliverance. Amen. They need deliverance. And the only way is through that message and the means that you got inside of you. I said it earlier. God could tear open the heavens and make every man believe. That ain't the way he said he's going to do it. He said he's going to flow through you and I. The foolishness of preaching, right? People need you. Listen, I don't know how else to say that this morning. People need you. People need you to share truth. They may not like you for doing it. They might reject you, but you'll never be the one it's Jesus that's rejected. If it's his means, his mission, and his message, then you need to understand that it ain't you that's rejected, it's him. And that's what he's teaching them, right? You don't got a good excuse not to. It pleases him, and they need it. They need it. They need it. Do you hear that? Can I go on this morning? People need you. People need you. And let me say this. I believe God heals. I believe God heals, okay? Did you hear me say that? I still believe God heals. Now, I'm also going to say this. In the Bible, in the Gospels, a lot of times Jesus did not heal for the mere sake of healing. He validated his very words through the supernatural power that he manifested. He did. He did. Right? Look, go back and read the Gospels. A lot of times he always did the miracle before he spoke. A lot of times. Okay? God wants to flow through you in ways that let me say this, that could bring healing or even a miracle to somebody's life. But also this, let me give you something better than that. God wants to flow through you in a way that would validate God to a world that don't even know if he exists. Because those miracles, sure, it was about meeting their need. But it was also about convincing them that this message is real, right? So what does Herod say? He heard the name of Jesus and all the miracles, and then he starts thinking it's a ghost. But you understand, people need you to go, because God may validate himself. He might make himself real to others through you. And he might let you be part of whatever miracle it is they need, and most of all, their salvation and their deliverance. Look, you don't got a good reason not to go. If you'll get over you and get about him and care about somebody other than you, then you'll go, and that's what it comes down to. Right? But number three, I got really good news. It also is for you. When you don't go, you're hurting yourself. When you don't go, you're hurting yourself. Go to see Miss Brandy. You grow. Why does he send the disciples? Catch me here, and we're done right here. We're done. The way that he sends them, a lot of the way he sends them is for them. Did you hear that? The way he sends them. It's for their growth. Now, him sending them is for the glory of the Father and to help people that need it. But the way he sends them is for them. You need to go, because you will never... You got to go, because you will never be as close to the Lord as he wants you to be until you do. Because there are certain things that will happen in your life when you do go. There are certain growth in your faith that only takes place in the sending phase. Now, you can't even go till you've been in the student phase. There are certain things you will only know of God in the student phase. There's certain growth that only takes place in the student phase. But there's also certain growth that only takes place in the sending phase. Does that make sense? So he says, go in twos. Why does he say go in twos? My friend said this the other day. He said, and this was so good, when Jesus has got the disciples with him, how are they identified? Well, people see the disciples, like, oh, that's the disciples of Jesus. How do they identify them as the disciples of Jesus? Well, they're with him. They're walking right there. How did, when they seen Jesus and the disciples walk, they said, well, those are Jesus' disciples because that's Jesus. And if Jesus wasn't there while they were sent out, they'd be, well, those are Jesus' disciples because they're doing the things that Jesus does and they're acting like him. And the only person they're talking about is him. They're saying he's this coming king and he's going to set up a kingdom. And he's got all authority, authority over Rome and everybody else. So they're preaching this message, right? It's all about Jesus. Now, Jesus in over around John 14, that my buddy was saying this, he said, before Jesus dies, he sits down with the disciples. He says, I'm about to give you a new covenant. I'm about to give you a new covenant, a new way. That when he leaves, they will know you. They will know you're my disciples through this new commandment that you love one another. So when Jesus is not there to walk with them, how do they know that they're the disciples of Christ? From now on, because Jesus ascends to the Father, the way that people will know is because the way they will love one another. He sends them in twos because he's getting them to understand that they need to count on each other, that they're going to need one another, that God will flow through one to help the other and flow through the other to help him, right? He's getting them ready to be the church, right? He's getting them ready. You can't go by yourself. You can't sit on your couch and watch it on TV. You can't. You need somebody that's going to help you, and you need to help them because helping them is going to help you, and when they help you, it's going to help you. He's getting them ready for koinonia and fellowship and what it means to be the church. So he sends them. He said, look, y'all rode my coattail this long. I'm about to send you out, and now you've got to depend on each other. You better take this one in because the days that are coming, whether you like me or not, you're going to need me. And I'm going to need you. I'm going to need you. And there are certain types of growth in Christ that's only experienced in the body. In the body. In the koinonia. In the fellowship. There are certain types of growth that takes place in the body and in the fellowship. He's teaching them that. You got to go. You got to go without me. And y'all got to go together because you're going to learn something. You're going to grow in this thing, in this calling on your life. You're going to grow in your faith. You're going to grow in the mission. You're going to grow in the message. You're going to grow in the ministry when you go with somebody and they help you and you help them. My God, you need accountability. You need a prayer partner. Okay. And number one, that was number two. Number one, he says, all right, guys, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to sit here today for a little while, and I want all y'all to go without me. I want y'all to go without me. Don't know how long you'll be gone. It's going to be a little while. Y'all go without me. And when you go, I don't want you to take nothing. Well, you can take that staff. No money. Don't take your bags. Don't take two coats. What about my shoes? Can I take my shoe? Yeah, you can take your sandals. What about this staff? Yeah, you can take your walking stick. But the point is, no, make no preparations. Take nothing. I can hear that. I know my carnal self would be like, that don't make no sense. I think we should do it this way. I'm going to sneak this because I don't think he knows, you know. So he's going to send us and send us with nothing. So Jesus, you're going to send us and you're going to send us with nothing? He said, no, I'm going to send you and I'm going to send you with everything. But until you got the nothing, you ain't going to realize you got everything. That was good. Because when you don't take nothing, then there's going to be times you don't know what to do. And you're going to have to trust in everything I've taught you. In everything I've seen. And you're going to have to do that thing that I taught you how to do where you talk to the Father. Give me, oh God, give me this day our daily bread. Because if I tell you to think stuff, you'll pray less. If I give you a bag to put the money in, you'll stay too long trying to get the money. And then you'll start depending on the money. And then you'll start loving the money. You can't take nothing. Because if I can get you to take nothing, I'll get you to realize you got everything. When all you got's a little bit of faith and some anointing, when you can get to the place where that's all you got, then you can shake the foundations of the political establishment and this world. My God, when you get to the place that all you got is trust in God and some prayer and whatever authority He's given you, you got to go. Because there's certain types of growth that only happens in the going season. In the going season, you learn that you got to trust in Him. You learn that when it comes to you, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. And He said, I'm sending you the same way He sent me. He said, I learned when He sent me, I couldn't do nothing. But with Him, I could do everything. Right? Don't Jesus say that? Apart from Him, I can do nothing. And apart from me, you can't do nothing. And you got to know that. Sometimes you got to get there to live it. He says, so. I also want you to pack up here and take your stuff. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to current number 7 up there. Because you ain't got time to pack up. Look, you don't know the eternal timetable. I'm going to try to tell you in a little while that I'm going to die, and you ain't even going to understand it. I'm going to tell you so clear that I'm going to die and resurrect, and you still ain't going to understand it. You're going to reject it. Look, He's telling them, you ain't got time to pack nothing. You got time to go right now and do. So part of that, too, is urgency. Urgency. Just go. If you're worried about all those other things, then you can't do what is most important right now. Right? Let me go bury my father. Let the dead bury his dead. What? Right? You got to go now. And you got to go the way I tell you to. Because if you don't go how I tell you to, you're going to miss the growth that I'm trying to do inside of you. Committed. This is good. When you go into the first house, if they receive you, you stay there. Wait, so we're not coming back this evening? What are we going to do? Well, what are you going to do while we're gone? I want to go with you. I want to do what we did yesterday, Jesus. Right? That's what I'm saying. How long am I going to be? I'm a homebody. I don't like being gone. Y'all know that. He said, yeah. If you go and they receive you, you might have to stay a little while. Sometimes laboring through the gospel and preaching the gospel is going to take a little while. When those kids got saved the other night, I didn't tell them. I didn't. Just pray this prayer. And you saved and do it in a minute. I looked them eyeball to eyeball and said, you're going to have to do this by yourself. I'm going to pray with you. This is what it means. I'm going to sit right here with you, and I ain't going nowhere. But you got to do this by yourself, baby. Listen, young man. You're going to have to do this all by yourself. I'll sit with you, and I'll commit to it, and any questions you got, and I'll pray, but you got to do it by yourself. I ain't putting words in your mouth. I'm not putting actions in your heart, but I'll sit right here with you till you do it. All 7 of them, we did it that way. Some would criticize me for that, but God knows how to communicate to kids and old people too. I ain't His translator. I'm just His mouthpiece, not His translator. He'll communicate it. Sometimes deliverance you may have to stay a little while. Sometimes you're going to deal with people that is in bondage to the enemy, and you can't fly right in and right out, and you can't be like, well, I'm going to go be a Christian. I'm going to go be an anointed apostle for 15 minutes, and then I got to meet somebody at lunch at 1. Sometimes it takes more. And if they're receptive, you're going to have to camp out and stay a little while. You got to be committed. Somebody say committed. You got to be committed to the deliverance. Content. Let me give you this. I'm trying to hurry. Content. He says, when you go to the first house, sometimes what might happen, when they begin to see you flow in this anointing, and when sick people get healed, the people that was real unsure of you at first, that has better to offer you, will come back to you later and say, hey, why don't you come stay over here? Because hospitality was a big thing in this culture, right? Big thing. And when they come in, and when the people are receptive and begin to hear and receive, they would get greater opportunities. He said, but you don't go to the bigger house, and you don't go to the table that's better. You stay where you went the first time. Because in that, I want you to be content with what you got and thankful for what you got. Because if you ever get seeking a greater comfort or a greater pleasure while you're doing ministry, you will lose your usefulness. Somebody say, preach that. If you ever get to the place where you're focused on the message and the mission and you're doing it and you're doing it, and somebody comes up and says, hey, I got something better for you over here. I got better food and a better place. And you get your mind off of that and start looking to a greater comfort, you lose your usefulness. It's funny to me that most pastors I know always go to the church that pays them better the next time. I ain't seen many go to one and take a pay cut. Unless they got fired. But gee, he said, look, you stay. You stay. Because that ain't what you're about. You're not about finding that the minute a greater comfort is affecting your decision in the mission, you're losing your usefulness. Are you with me? I got a couple of more. I've preached them in so much different order, I don't know. Okay. That was when I put comfortless. Be content with what you got, and then don't seek a greater comfort or a greater pleasure. And then the last one is 6. Somehow I went from 2 to 1 to 7, but we're at 6, the last one, and then we're done, okay? And we're done. He says this, but if you do go and they reject you, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. That don't sound nice, right? A cultural thing going on here, but nevertheless, shake if they reject this. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And you shake the dust off for a testimony. You let them know they rejected. You let them know. You don't take it personal because it ain't about you. You don't take it personal. It ain't about you. If I'm made fun of for preaching the gospel, I don't take that personal. He's the one that's being insulted, right? If I'm preaching the gospel and somebody makes fun of me, when somebody makes fun of us in these last days because we believe what the Bible says, and they start calling us crazy fundamentalists that's damaging our society, that's what they're going to say. That's what they're saying right now. When they say those things, they ain't talking about you. Don't take that as they're talking about you, because you're just doing what he told you to do. They are attacking the Lord Most High. So you keep going. Because if it matters, If their rejection bothers you so bad that you don't keep going, it means that you are living to find the approval of man and not the approval of God. So you let them know, if you're going to go, you need to let it be known that I care what he thinks. I care what he thinks. I don't stay and go based over whether you accept or approve me or like me or don't like me. I do what I do because I want his approval. So you shake the dust off a testimony against them and know that you did what I sent you to do. And if they tell you to get out of there, you be kind and get out of there. But you let them know. And Peter did, didn't he? You get an axe, you early on. He tells them eyeball to eyeball. I don't care what men think, only what the Lord thinks. And then he's praising God because he's counted worthy to get beat up. But you know the best way to get to the place that you don't so much care about what everybody thinks anymore, and you care more what God thinks? I promise you, you're going to learn that when you go. And there's certain things in your faith walk, certain types of growth in areas that only takes place when you go. Certain growth takes place in the season of being a student of him. Certain growth takes place in the season of being sent. And the reason why he sends you is threefold. It pleases him. It makes him happy. And the people he loves needs it. And the way he chose to do it is through you. And number three, the best version of you, the closest to Jesus you'll ever be, is when you're walking out the pattern of a student in this season and sent in this season, and then back a student and then back sent. We come into his presence and then we take to the world what we got. And we come back and we go. We come back and we go. We come back and we go. Jesus goes out and then he regresses and reposes in the mountain. He goes out and then he regresses and reposes in the desert. Right? He does it. He does it. And we got to do it. We've got to walk full cycle. From spending time and being a student and knowing him and then going to this world. And I'll end with this. What I felt last week, and I felt I was so scattered and struggled so bad, but I was assured of this, that the failure in going has a lot to do with the failure in the discipleship part and being the student. We trace it all the way back. There's some things we're not forsaking. It's causing us not to know him the way we should. And when we know him the way we should, then we'll go the way we should. And when we go the way we should, we'll grow the way we should. And we'll glorify him. Does that make sense, or did I lose everybody in the house? Look, I didn't come to try to preach a good sermon. My goal is that next week we'll go and we'll glorify him and we'll give others what they need of, and we'll grow in the process. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you to stand. Would you play a song? Just real quick. We probably won't even play the whole one. I just want us to pause and reflect for a moment. I don't know what time it is. It's probably 3 or 4 o'clock, ain't it? I told you early. For 39 years, he's been right there with me. Even when I didn't care, can we not just be with him a little while? Man, he's chased you around all your life. Can we not just chase him around in this place for a little while? You know? Hey, look, I got somewhere I was supposed to be at about 12:45. Trying to. I knew I wouldn't make it, so I didn't make promises. Just for a minute. Just for a minute. I don't know. This is exciting to me. It's refreshing to me. It reminds me 39. I started when I was 16, and somehow I get away from some of these simple principles. God, you're so good. You're so good. Hey, let me say this too. One reason why you may think I'm not real sensitive to your time is because when I grew up in church, they wouldn't have dismissal. You left. You left when you was ready. And there's usually somebody in the altar till 1:30 or 2 every Sunday. Every Sunday. Start at 11, and most time I left, and there's still people going after God, weeping and crying till 2 in the evening, right? Come back at 5 and did it till 8 or 9 that night. So if you think I ain't sensitive, I guess I ain't, because I don't connect the dots, because it was different. I say all that to say this. It never bothers me when you slip out and need to go. If you need to, you can. But right now, there's some people right now that God's doing something. So if you need to go, you just slip out and go. I promise that's fine. I promise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So clean my hands, purify. Lord, you're good. God, you're good. Lord, you sure are good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Say it one more time. You're a fire.
Church, I love you this morning. God bless you. Listen, you go and glorify and grow. That's your dismissal. You go. 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 Wherever you go.